is my privilege to give him the mic and allow him to speak this morning. He said he was going to shorten it down, and I told him just go as long as you want. But just remember, if I start doing baptism in the middle of him preaching, it's just because I'm ready to go, you know, like that. But thank you so much for loving me.
Lisa gets the flowers and I get the snacks. Okay? Thank you. Hey, could we put our hands together for the Harris's? And who's excited to be here today? I mean, this is a special day, right? Let's put our hands for that. All the good things that are happening here at Lee Church, we are so excited. Glad to be here today. You got lucky because we're headed to Chicago as soon as the service is over. Unfortunately, we have a few more visitation we have to attend to. Otherwise, I'd probably preach 2 or 3 hours. So I'm so excited about the good things that God's doing here. But all joking aside, this is a special day. It's a day of remembrance. It's a day of baptism. Water baptism is an outward statement of what God is doing on the inside. There's some really important symbolism there. So that's really important. It's a day of worship, a day of prayer. I mean, we're just so proud of this church and of the pastors and what God has done and is going to do. And I'm going to preach a message today. I'm going to be using 2 different passages. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 15. And I actually want to talk about today something new. I want to talk about how God uses a church like this to make an eternal difference. I want you to know that what is happening in this season at Lee Church in Collinsville, Illinois, this is not usual. It's not every day. It's not something that should be missed as far as its significance and importance. And I know that if you've been hearing your pastors teach and preach and worship over the last few months, you've already caught on to the vision why we're doing this, why God brought the Harrisons back home to Illinois, why we didn't sell this property, why we all didn't decide to do something else today. See, I believe in the sovereignty of God, which basically means God is in control, which means we're not in control.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a tough admission for some folks, but the sooner we decide that God is your way, not my way, the better off we're going to be. Isn't that true? Because I've done my way, and it doesn't work out too well, right? So this is divine. This is sovereign. This is God's work. We believe what the song we just sang, what Pastor Brian was just saying about the blood of Jesus Christ. This church believes that the Bible is true, don't we? I mean, we believe this. We believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that if you accept him as a part of your sins, you're going to go to heaven. And in these days, fewer people seem to be believing that. But this church stands on that. And I'm just going out there, and among the other things, I'm not preaching yet, so don't start with the clock.
Gotcha.
Among other things, you know, this church believes in things like divine healing. We just pray. That's kind of old school. You realize that a lot of new and young churches are so worried about being cool. You know what I mean? And they're so worried about making everybody feel, well, listen, I tell you what we're concerned about, that you know the truth. That you know the truth, because the truth, Jesus said, will set you free. So I'm just glad to be a part of this. We're celebrating with you and with this new church. We're just excited to be here. So let's start in the book of Romans chapter 15. I'm going to be reading from verse 20 and 21. And this explains just a little bit, and I don't want to speak on behalf of the pastors this morning, but it explains just a little bit about the heart of a church planter. While you're finding that, or maybe it'll be projected on the screen, Romans 15 and verse 20 and 21. I want to tell you that Lee and I also, we planted the church way back in 1986. That tells you how old we are. Okay, but we started a church over in St. Louis and Sacramento, to be specific. And the Lord blessed us and enabled us to do well and things went with it. But I want to tell you, pray for your pastors, because there are few things as hard as starting a church from nothing. Okay? There are few things as difficult. Now, we didn't have a beautiful facility like this. We started in a school gymnasium, as a matter of fact. where we were. We had to set up to break down. But the Lord blessed us. But there, I just want to tell you that the Harrison could have done something else. I'll just go ahead and tell you this. If they would have been interested in pastoring one of our established churches, we'd have been honored. That's all. I didn't tell them until once they got started, but we would be glad to do that. Because we have 65 churches around the state of Illinois, and every once in a while, they could have done that. They could have stayed where they were, they could have pastored. But God calls people, all right? He calls men and women, he calls boys and girls to do specific things for him. And I believe with all my heart, this family is called by God to do this.
Amen.
Right? I believe that. I believe it. I believe it. And if you see what Paul says in Romans 15, he was a church planter. Now, what he did, he was kind of an apostle. He kind of went from town to town and started churches and then appointed pastors and elders. And then he would go on and start another one and go on and start another one. But look at what he says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 20. He said, it has always been my ambition. Now, ambition can be a bad thing, right? But this is a good thing, ambition for God. It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. You get that? So that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. I want to explain that, then I want to read on just a little bit. Paul wasn't criticizing established churches. In fact, he was very much an encourager of churches that were ongoing. But he said, for me personally, it's a personal call. Yeah. God has called me to places where there isn't a church established, where Jesus isn't being preached. I need to do that in order to fulfill God's call in my life. Now, God doesn't call everybody to do that. How many of you are like, God didn't call you to do that? Some of you are like, yeah, thank you, Lord. He didn't call me to do that, and I'm glad. Well, Paul basically says this in other places. He says, if I don't do that, I'm in trouble with God. Right? There are a couple of places where he says, look, if I'm not preaching the gospel in these places, man, I'm going to answer to God. So this was very personal. It was a conviction, and it was an ambition. But we move on and see that he's actually quoting a prophet here. He says, rather, let me read on, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. So Paul adds some depth to his statement. Verse 20 is this is what God has called me to do. Verse 21 explains the result of what will happen when Paul is obedient. Did you see that? Verse 21, he says, people who don't know about Jesus are about to know about Jesus. You know, folks who have heard the good news that there's a God who loves them, because of what we do, they're going to hear. And I just want to say, when it comes to things, for example, and I love the outreach heart of your pastors. They are very interested in the church leaving the building. Okay, you guys are passionate about getting out of the community. And if you do something as simple as give candy to somebody on a community day yesterday, or throw candy from a float or from a trailer at Christmas, you know, every one of those things are an opportunity for somebody to say, leave church. I wonder what that's about. You know what they're going to do? They're going to go on Facebook. These days, they're going to check you guys out. All right, they're gonna listen to the message. You're gonna say, hey, wait a minute, those people aren't just about giving us candy, man. They've got something really important. I believe, church, with all my heart, that there are men and women, boys and girls around this community that are going to come to know Jesus because of the ministry of this church. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I mean, I think it's true. I think it's true. I believe it. I believe it. So Paul kind of articulates how we feel. And those of you that have been here from the beginning, you know, you all could have gone to an established church. I could have said, you know what, you guys don't want to do that. That's too hard. There's another church. Let's plug you in over there. And that would have been okay, except that this building would be empty this time.
Yeah.
Okay. And some of you wouldn't be at those churches, because some of you are here because of relationships. Some of you are here because you know somebody. Some of you are here because you reconnected. And if I want you to realize this, that what
we're doing here today has eternal significance. Sunday morning is not a club. We don't just come together to see our friends, okay? We don't just come together to sing some nice songs and hear a good speech and go home. No, what we're dealing with is eternal issues. So Paul is saying this, when we're obedient to God and when we find ourselves moving the direction that God wants us, it's going to impact other people. People who haven't heard are going to hear. People who don't know are going to find out. And there will be people, I believe with all my heart, people in heaven one day because of your obedience, because of the work that we attempt to do. And that just makes me want to celebrate just a little bit. Now I want to dig in a little bit deeper in not only this scripture, but in this idea of why a new church. I have had conversations. I have an attorney friend who's a Christian. That's right, a Christian attorney. You know, there are miracles, right? He loves the Lord, but he's not a church planner. He doesn't quite get it. And he'll say to me, Rick, why do you want to plant new churches? See, because we're planting new churches. We planted a new church in Wood River just a little over a year ago. They're doing great as well. But he'll say, Rick, why are you planting new churches? We have churches all over that aren't filled. They'll ask that question, you know. If you're in the restaurant business and you're going broke, why would you start a new restaurant? And this is what I try to tell them. I say, John, listen, this isn't marketing. This isn't business.
Yeah.
This is obedience to God.
Yeah.
God has given us a command to reach the lost and do whatever it takes. Okay,
yeah.
We don't look at it as, you know, well, there are enough churches in town. No, you know, I will go ahead and tell you this, and this breaks my heart to tell you this, but fewer and fewer people are going to church today in America than ever in our history.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, over the last 2 years, I just read this statistic, over the last 2 years involving COVID, there's about a 20% drop. Sorry for that spitting. You don't want to sit too close to me. Open your umbrellas. Okay. There's about a 20% reduction in church attendance in America. And that breaks my heart. And I say, if there's ever a time when we needed the church, today is the time.
Yeah.
2021 is the time that we need to gather together. Yet people are finding it easy to stay away. And it might be some who would be tempted to say, well, that's a terrible time to start a church.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to start when fewer people are going. We want to start when more people are. No, what we're trying to do is reach people.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do is say, there's a God who loves you and has a plan for your life. And we're trying to build this church up. So, you know, we plant new churches because, statistically speaking, new churches win more people to Jesus than established churches.
Yeah.
That's a strange thing to hear. Some people say, well, why is that? Well, because some people are attracted to something new. Some people see the new lead church sign. Doesn't that look awesome out there? I think it's fantastic. And somebody comes along and cuts out all the shrubs on this end so people coming down the road can see the church. And all it takes is one person saying, you know what? I used to go to church. I don't anymore. Or I've never been to church all my life, but I'm going to give it a try. And they come and they get saved. They give their heart to Jesus. Can I tell you something? That is worth all the effort and all the expense and all the trouble that we go through if one person will come to the Lord. Listen, new churches can inspire folks to come back to church.
Yeah.
They really can. One of the things that keeps people away from church, and listen, I've been doing this a long, long time, and I've heard all the excuses, but I've heard people say, you know, I used to go to church, I left because those people are too judgmental, because those people are self-righteous, because those people look down on me. You've heard all these excuses, right? Can I tell you that in this church, because it's a new church, listen, there is no history here.
Right.
Okay, everybody's welcome, right? It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your background is. You don't have to walk in, and I love this, you don't have to walk in and say, is this somebody's seat? Some grandma who's been sitting here for 20 years? I'm going to get slapped upside the head in church. They're sitting in somebody's seat. They're parking in their seat. No, it's new. It's new. And people are attracted to newness, aren't they? It's fresh. I want to say something about that a little bit later. New churches can change communities. This church was established for years, but the church, and this is not a criticism, but this church basically did what happens to many churches in America. This church, a few years ago, just kind of died on the vine.
There were a handful of elderly folks who really couldn't keep it together, and the reputation that had been gained in the community was it's a dying church. It's a dying church. And that's a sad thing when it happens. But praise be to the Lord. And by the way, we live in Bethalto, and every time we get near the area, we drive by. We come by and we pray. We pray for you guys. You know? And every time we come by, there's something new. Every time we come by, there's something fixed up. There are new plants or something cleaned up or new paint or new sign or something. You know what that says to the community? Hey, folks, something's happening here.
Yeah.
Okay? There's new life. There's new vision. There's something fantastic. And whether or not they say it, the neighbors are noticing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And whether or not they show up here, they're thinking, hey, there's an alive church right there. There's something going on. And I promise you something. If they get themselves in a situation where they need a church, you know where they're going to go? To the church across the street.
Yeah.
To the church down the road. To the church where the people are out of the community. And being nice to them and serving them and loving on them. I want to tell you something else about new churches. New churches can inspire, get this now, established churches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you that may not connect to you. You're not part of an established church. You're part of a new church. But I want to tell you something today. And since the church started, there are churches, Church of God churches all over Illinois that are celebrating this church. Praying for you, excited for you, just saying, man, this is incredible. A brand new church. Here's the analogy I use. When this church started, it was almost like the Illinois Church of God had a baby. Okay? And how many of you love babies? I mean, we're not gonna have a baby. You know, not for a person. We're grandparents, okay? But there's nothing as life-giving as a new baby, right?
Yeah.
It's exciting. You take pictures and everybody oohs and ahs over it. And that's the same way we feel about this new church. And it inspires established churches. I want to tell you something. I'm not telling you anything you don't know right now. Illinois can be a tough place to live.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois, our communities are hurting. And a lot of our pastors and established churches are going through hard times. The economy is failing. The towns are dying. But when they hear the story of what God is doing at Lee Church and other new churches, and pray with me that we'll plant more churches all around the state, okay?
Yeah.
But when they hear that, they go, oh, there's hope for Illinois.
Yeah.
God is doing something. God hasn't given up on us. And they get inspired. Not only that, they pick up some ideas from you. I love you guys, your gift baskets, some places of business. I shared that with several pastors in the state of established churches, and they love it. Hey, that's a great idea. Maybe we can pick up that idea from the new kids on the block. Okay? It's inspiring and it's exciting. New churches can inspire more people to start new churches.
Yeah.
Okay? One of the great things, and again, statistics tell you this, new churches many times will birth new churches. Let me just dream with you just for a second. Let's project into the future just a couple of years. As this church grows, as it gets harder and harder to find places to sit, as the parking lot gets more crowded, God is going to bring more and more leaders. He's already brought some leaders. We thank God for the hills. He's already bringing many of you. We're grateful. God is going to bring more people. And eventually, somebody's going to come to Pastor Brian and Pastor Ann and say, hey, guys, God has put something in my heart. You know, we need a church in Edwardsville. What do you guys think about that idea? And you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, hey, we think that's a great idea, too. We can. And I'm just dreaming now. Is that okay? I'm not prophesying. I'm just dreaming. But doesn't that sound like a great thing for lead church to say, we got going. We're going to help another church get going. And another church get going. And another church get going. See, these are all within the realm of why we start new churches. One more thing I want to talk about, and then I want to get to Isaiah this morning. New churches can create ministry passion in folks. Now, what I mean by that is this. Let me just go ahead and say this. You're counting on the Harris family to do all the ministry in this church. Please don't.
Amen.
Now, they're amazing. Are they not? They're incredible. They can do all kinds of stuff. But it's not their responsibility to do all the ministry.
Right.
A new church says this. We need you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place for whatever it is you can do. And whatever your ability is. And some of you are saying, well, I don't have any abilities. Oh, sure you do. Now, talk to your pastors. They can help you discover that. I don't have any talent. Yeah, you do. The Bible says that everybody is given a grace. Everybody is given a gift. And the church needs them.
Yeah.
Whether it is cooking, whether it is cleaning, whether it is hospitality, welcoming people to the church, whether it is helping with advertising or helping on social media or helping to sing or receive the offering or do the nursery. Everybody's needed.
Amen.
And I love that. I don't want to go to a church where I'm not needed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to go to a church where nobody knows me. Nobody cares if I'm there. I want to go where I'm needed, where I'm loved, where I'm valued, where my gifts make a difference. So that's kind of a connection to Paul. Paul's saying, I'm called, I'm passionate, I am ambitious to preach the gospel where it's currently not being preached. And when I do, things are going to happen. So get ready, the church. Things are happening already, and greater things are ahead. I want to go now to Isaiah chapter 43, and I'm going to talk more from a spiritual sense. I've been talking practically today, but Isaiah chapter 43, I'm going to be reading verses 18 and 19, and let me explain just a little bit about the context and about what a prophecy this is and apply it then to today. Isaiah chapter 43 was written about 700 B.C., 700 years before Jesus was born. And this is, first of all, it's a statement about the nation of Israel, their current position, their current place. They were in a dark time. They were in a difficult time. They were in a time when many of God's people were rebelling against Him and walking away from Him. And this statement is, you're going to hear it as a statement of, I'm going to do something new with the country of Israel. Okay? There's a secondary application. Isaiah chapter 43 is also a prophecy of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. If you've read much of Isaiah, you see there's a whole lot about, it talks about streams in the desert. It talks about rain falling on a dry and barren land. And after the rain falls and the streams flow, the desert becomes a beautiful harvest field. And that rain is representative of the Holy Spirit. So Isaiah is prophesying and saying, listen, the day is coming when I will pour my Spirit out upon people, and the blessings will flow. Well, today we're living in that blessing, okay? We're living in the fulfillment of that. But I want to make one more application today, and it's for October 31st, 2021. The things that I'm going to read today from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, is God saying, now let's read it. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the waste. Let me read that just one more time. I don't want you to miss it. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, I want to explain that Isaiah is not saying to you, you need amnesia. You need to let go of the past. You need to just forget everything that happened. No, he's not saying that. What he is saying is don't dwell in your history. Don't live in what happened to you many, many years ago. Today, God is bringing a fresh start and a new beginning. And that's good news for us, right? Anybody, by showing of hands, have a past that you're not proud of, that you kind of like to forget, you kind of hope nobody ever brings up? In fact, you'd like to forget it yourself, right? That's where we all are. Today, the Spirit of God is saying, you don't have to worry about that anymore. As Jesus forgives you, God is doing a new thing in you, and this church is providing that for us, okay? It would be very, very easy for us to get caught up in the past. As a matter of fact, I have a few people in my life that like to remind me of my past, right? I got some friends on Facebook that often, or every once in a while, tell me about what I used to do. And I'm like, get that off there. I don't want people to know that. I don't want to be reminded of that. But it's real.
Yeah.
We're just being honest. But here's what the Lord says. You don't have to live there anymore, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what your past is. You don't live in the past.
Yes, right.
We live today and into the future. And the Lord says this to us. I want you to forget it. Don't dwell in it. See, today, start something new. Today, start something new. Spiritually, God is saying, and that's why we use the phrase, born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, look, you've got to be born again. You have to start over. That's what this church is.
Yes.
And by the way, this isn't a continuation of an old church. This is a brand new church.
That's right.
Okay? So whenever we die to our sins, it's not a continuation of our old life. It's a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new us. We don't have to worry about how things used to be. Or listen to this. We don't have to worry about how mistreated we were.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have to hold on to our unforgiveness because of the abuse that took place. You know, another reason why a lot of people don't want to come to church is because they've been hurt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Spiritual abuse. It's happening. It has to happen. But can I tell you something? The Lord is saying to those that that's happened to, you know what? You don't have to live there. I'm setting you free from that. I'm breaking that bondage of pain and abuse and neglect. This is the new thing. I'm starting something fresh in you. I love this idea of newness because it speaks to God's, hear this now, creative power. I don't know how you feel about the creation of the world. The Bible says that God created the world. In Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, it talks about how God formed the earth out of nothing. That in 6 days, God went through and created all the stuff that we see and we know, the trees, the sky, the flowers, the water, and people. And then on the seventh day, he rested. Well, there are a lot of people who say, well, that was God's creativity and work, but then that's it. He's done. Can I tell you? No. God is still creating.
That's right. Amen.
God didn't quit creating. He rested on the seventh day. But ever since then, God is still creating newness. God is bringing new life. I'm mentioning babies again. Every time a baby is conceived, do you know that life comes from God?
Yes.
God is the one that created that life.
Yeah.
All right? So God isn't done creating. God brings newness out of old things. God's created this new church. God is creating new vision. God is giving us new dreams. God is giving inspiration and encouragement and motivation to people who a long time ago gave up. Listen, the world is full of people who bury their dreams. You know what I mean? When they were kids, they had this ambition that I'm going to do something great. And then they hit middle age, and they started getting tired. Then they got old like me, and they quit dreaming a long time. Can I tell you, God is resurrecting broken dreams. God is telling people, listen, I'm not done with that, okay? I want you to go back, and I want you to remember what I told you. I promised that I made to you things that I put in your heart, and God says it's not too late. He can create in us newness and freshness. Don't you just love that position of newness? Forget the old things. Don't dwell on them anymore. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. And then he asks the question, do you not perceive it? Which tells me that we could miss it if we're not here. Okay. God is always doing something new, but it is possible that we miss it. It's possible that we're blinded because of our pain and because of our cynicism or skepticism. Don't miss what the Spirit of God is doing. I want to tell you, I want to say this carefully. It doesn't matter how dark your night was. It doesn't matter how hopeless and despairing you were. When you come to Christ, it's a new day. It's a new beginning. He has new plans for you. People might not understand that. People might think you're crazy. People might misunderstand what you're trying to say to them. But the Lord says, I want you to perceive it. It's springing up in your life. I'm making a way in the wilderness. I am bringing streams in the wasteland. The wasteland, the desert. That was us before Jesus. And it was just dry. It was barren. There was no life there. But the Holy Spirit begins to rain on us. It begins to flow through us. And we see new life in it. And it springs up in us. See, I want you to know today that because God has brought this new church, and because God has brought us together, that this really isn't just about a church or an organized legal entity. This church is a legal entity in the state of Illinois. It's not really about that. You know what it's about? It's about you. The church is about you. Every one of them. And it's about those who aren't here yet. Okay. It's about people who don't even know about the church yet. But you're going to tell them. This church isn't about the pastors getting a reputation. Man, they went in there and planted a great church. They're so successful. No, that's not their hearts. It's not my heart. Our heart is to you. Okay? God loves you. That's what this church is about. God cares about you. God wants to make something special of your life. I mean, he really does. That's what the church is all about. You're not here by accident, okay? Some of you might think, I just ran into an old friend, and here I am. No, you don't know this, but God directed your steps. God positioned you where you needed to be, so you could talk to the right person, so you could meet the right person, so that you could be a part of this. And I want to tell you this, this church isn't just about you, but it's about other people who need him. Now, I want to go back one more time to the pastors. The pastors cannot grow this church. We have to grow this church, all right? You know people who need this church that your pastors will never meet, okay? So you are more or less a missionary, so we'll go out into this community and tell people. This is one of the greatest things you can do to boost up and encourage your pastors is to show up with a friend in church on Sunday morning. Or bring them to an event. Or this is it hang out at the hills? Is that what it's called? Bring some friends. Okay, that's the most encouraging thing you can do because it's letting them know, hey, it's working. It's not all on us. These people are getting the vision, and God is using them to grow this church and to build this church. And this is what I want to say to you. I'm preparing to wrap this up. But what this really is about, what Lead Church, how God uses this new church, it is about you. It's about the people who aren't here yet, but they're on their way. It's about us. It really is. But I want to tell you what it is. It is about eternity. Because decisions will be made as a result of this ministry that will determine where people spend their eternity. You see, Nathan and I are going today to pay respects to a departed brother, someone passed away. We're going there to support the family and to honor that person. And that day is coming for all of us. We're all going to leave this earth. We're all going to die, hopefully no time soon. But if we do, when we do, the Bible says we'll stand before God and we'll give an account of ourselves. As far as how did we respond to the gospel of Jesus. I'm so glad that the Bible doesn't say this. That when you stand before God, he will say, okay, how often did you go to church? I'm so glad that he won't say, and how much money did you give in tithes? Now, listen, we want you to do those things. Don't get me wrong. That's not how we're saved. You know how we're saved? Did we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? Did he forgive our sins? Okay. Not, are you a good person? Not, were you religious when you were on that earth? No. Did you accept my son as Savior? And if the answer is yes, you know what he's going to say? Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in the little things. Now I want you to enter into the joy of the Lord. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There will be people on judgment day who are making it to heaven because of the ministry of this church. Folks, that makes this the most important business in heaven. Did you hear what I said? This is the most important organization in power. Nobody has a business that impacts eternity like this church. Best restaurant in town, best bar dad in town, police, fire, we honor all of them, but the church Christ and of Jesus. And that's what this church is all about. We're so excited. We're so thankful. I have the advantage, my wife and I have the advantage of we travel and we're in a different church every Sunday. Okay? You can't do that. you be here every Sunday. But we travel, and so that means we only show up every couple of months, but every time we do, we see growth, we see progress. It makes us proud. It makes us thankful. Listen, you're not here to make us proud. You're here to make God proud. And I believe with all my heart, He is very, very proud of you. So I want to one more time congratulate the members of this church. I want to congratulate the Harris family for their incredible, amazing work. We're going to get ready to move into water baptism, but I want to, as they're getting ready, the people are getting ready for baptism, or making themselves set to go. I want to lead us in prayer. I want to once again pray over you. The things that I've preached today, I mean from the bottom of my heart, that God's hand is on this church. And if you happen to be, what do we say, on the bubble. Right? You know what that means? Well, I'm not in, I'm not out, I'm not sure. I highly recommend this church to you. I think you'll never find a more authentic, down-to-earth place of ministry than any church. But you pray about that. But let's pray that the vision that God had for this church, I told you before that God is sovereign, that God makes plans that include us. And God has desires in this church. Can we pray that those desires will be fulfilled? And that will be fulfilled through us. Okay, He'll use us. And God can do anything, but He chooses to use people to fulfill His will. So why don't we just pray that, and I think Pastor Ann's going to have a little worship and we'll enjoy His baptism. God, I want to thank You for Your word today that went out. Both the Apostle Paul and from the prophet Isaiah, that speaks of newness and speaks of a fresh beginning, both of ministry and church, but of lives. And I thank You for the people that are part of this church, God, that are experiencing new life in Jesus. Lord, You have appointed us, just like You appointed Paul. We're here because You called us to be here. No other reason. And Lord, if we are moving in obedience to You, we know that blessings will follow. So I'm asking, God, that Lead Church will become everything that You have desired. And I know, God, You're not looking for just another church to meet on a Sunday morning and then go home with no life change happening. God, you're looking for transformation in families. You're looking for healing in relationships and in bodies. Lord, you're wanting to do a new work in this town and in this county. God, there are people that You want to save and rescue. And that's Your plan for Lead Church. You want us to lead the way to You. So, Lord, I pray that will be accomplished in the name of Jesus. And I pray that You'll use every person, Lord, that's part of this church in their own way. When they serve, when they pray, when they give, when they worship. When they go out into the community, Lord, I pray that You utilize them. Let this church grow, bring new people, draw folks who don't know about You, and Lord, let there be a great and amazing future for me and church. So I thank You, God. I bless Your name. We rejoice in You and we worship You. And we will give You all the glory, Lord, for the things that are accomplished. It's in the name of Jesus. And church is together. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you. And be with you.
this morning. We have, looks like, three people that want to be baptized.
Awesome.
And so we are excited this morning to be able to do that. If there's anybody who is not up here and you say, hey, I want to still do this, we have towels, so we can get you towels and we can dry you off. And if you want to be involved, that's awesome. If you have somebody up here that you want to take pictures, we want to give you that opportunity. I'm going to ask Zach to move the camera over here so we can see a little bit better on the live stream. But if you would like to take pictures, you can come stand right here when it's just that person's turn. And we will do that. We also have somebody that's back here that will be taking pictures. So don't think you're not going to get one from this direction, but we will get that as well. So thank you so much for staying and being with us. Water baptism is important. And water baptism is something that we... when I talked to them, I told them, I said, it's dying to your old self and coming up new this morning. So we are excited to be able to do that. So I'm going to bring up the first person. All of them wear glasses, and all of them said if they take their glasses off, that they can't see. So we're going to have to get them all the glasses when we do the baptism. But before that, they might have their glasses on. We'll trade glasses.
In a thousand generations.
This is Christina. And do you want to say English? No. Christina, have you accepted Jesus as the first Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes.
On your confession of faith, amen. On your confession of faith, will you be baptized?
Upon you and a thousand generations.
Praise.